Right, so we're talking a little about the very interesting topic of Gilgulim. Okay, so just 1 second, I'm sorry. Okay, so the going here brings down the concept of Gilgulim, and he says the following. He says that sounds like you have three chances. Okay, that's a good answer. There is a book that's written, was edited by Rav Shlomo Kamenetz in the Yeshiva of Philadelphia. And he brings down different sheets that get these things. So one of the things he says there is the following concept of Gilgulim. He says that a Gilgul means that the people say, like, oh, am I coming back? Am I not coming back? It's not the I. He says it's the chelik of the neshama. The neshama actually gets split up. And it's the chelik of the neshama, which was not mesukah. The chelik of the neshama, which was left un-mesukin, that chelik needs to come back in a different form to be mesaken a certain tikkun. But the chelik of the neshama, which basically did its tafkid, that chelik of the neshama will go back up to Shemayim. So it's actually split. The neshama actually is divided in that sense. It's always up to going. Now, he asks an interesting question in that sefer. He asks, if the purpose of a Gilgul is to be mesaken the neshama, isn't that the purpose of Gehenna? That a person goes into Gehenna to be mesaken the neshama. So how do you determine the difference between Gehenna and Gilgul? If they're both there to be mesaken the neshama, very interesting question. So he wants to tie it like this. He said that there's some things in some areas that a person did not perform any tikkun. He performed no tikkun in that particular area. So that person that performed no tikkun, that neshama will need to go through Gilgul to achieve the tikkun it was meant to achieve in the first round. But the chelik of the neshama that actually did perform partial tikkun in that area, it just wasn't perfect. For that, the neshama is now mesukin. It does not have to go back into a guf. But there's a pagam in it. And that pagam needs to be mesukin in Gehenna. So he says, for example, a person gave tzedakah. But he gave tzedakah with a sour face. He gave tzedakah begrudgingly. He was always forced. Okay. So he gave the tzedakah. So now he was mesaken basically the tzorech of the neshama for tzedakah. That neshama's avodah was to give. He gave good. It doesn't have to come back in the guilt. But there's a major pagam because the tikkun that came through tzedakah was not mesukin completely because there was a pagam in the tikkun. It wasn't done 100% properly. Those pagamim need to be ironed out through the Eish of Gehenna, or according to Chaim Volozhiner, through the Eish of Torah. That's a separate issue. So that's that. Okay, but let's say the guy was a miser and he never gave tzedakah. So now what's the amkus of the problem? Gehenna can't fix that because it's not ironing it out. It's not ironing out the pagam. There's a tikkun of tzedakah that needs to be filled that wasn't filled. This neshama requires the tikkun of tzedakah to bring to its tachlis, and it's still not there. And therefore, that neshama's got to come back down to mesaken the tikkun of tzedakah. That's how he defines the distinction between the tikkun of Gehenna and the tikkun of Gilgul. Okay. So that's what he says. Now, you know, there's a whole issue of in the Rambam. The Rambam kind of discusses the concept if there's going to be a guf in Olam Haba. And the Rambam says there's no guf in Olam Haba. So everybody asks him, Rambam, what? He's Kofer and Tchias HaMeisim. So we discussed this Barichas. Rambam is not talking about Tchias HaMeisim. He's talking about the Olam Haba before the Tchias HaMeisim. But one of the questions that it was written by the Yad Ramah, that a contemporary of the Rambam, and he wrote letters to the Rambam. So one of the things he says, very interesting, explains why he thinks that there should be a guf, okay, is at some point, he says the following. He says, the neshama and the guf were put together as one unit in this world. The neshama has to misaken certain things. The neshama in its purest form has no nesayin, is totally elevated. It's a chelek eloka, it's just nishmas Yisrael. It comes to the guf, and the guf is what pulls it down. Every struggle that we have in this world is the struggle of the guf versus the neshama. The struggle of zrizus, for example. The Gemara says, Rav Dessler explains, zrizus means a person is shuffle, person is low. What's low about him? Is because he is connected to the guf. The guf is what's sluggish, slows him down. A person that's purely neshamadik is nasi, he's an elyon, he's zaris. He's able to do things as they come without getting distracted and pulled aside because he understands his mission and he's not distracted by the guf. So it's guf versus neshama. This is the struggle of the world. A person is able to elevate the neshama till perfection, and the guf becomes a total irrelevant piece. It doesn't share the neshama at all, to the degree that the neshama, the guf doesn't even have anything which pulls away at the neshama. That's Eliyahu Navi Leimes, because he didn't require to be pulled out of the guf in order to achieve perfection in the spiritual sense. And the guf itself could go up to Shemayim, because the guf itself is not a chatzitza for him. Okay, there's only two tzaddikim in the history of the world like that. Eliyahu Navi and Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu lo imeis. That means he didn't have to die because his neshama was not, it was no pure. He lived a purely neshama de kalat. Right. Apparently Moshe Rabbeinu died. So what is Misa doing? Misa is separating the neshama from the guf so that the neshama can go back, go through its Gehenim period or whatever, accept some sort of tikkun, and then whatever it goes into Gan Eden, now it earns its keep as a neshama shleim. But the guf was there as a messiah. If the guf now goes through a tikkun as well, the guf also deserves schar. This is the Ramah says. The guf also deserves schar. Because the guf was also used to for mitzvahs. So therefore, he says, is that when in Olam Haba, a person is going to get the schar, the neshama will get the ikar schar, because the neshama was the one doing the mitzvahs. But the guf will get the schar for helping. So he says the reason why there has to be a guf in Olam Haba is because otherwise it's not fair. The guf also did mitzvahs. So just like there's a process in which the neshama needs a tikkun, which is Gehenim, the kvura is the process with which the guf gets its tikkun, and eventually the guf and the neshama will come back together. Now the Rambam just holds that there's no hanah to the guf and the Olam Haba. It's not a physical existence. So you can't put the neshama and the guf back together. But in a Tchias HaMeisim, they'll come back together. So there's a tikkun over there. Okay? So, like I said before, people that don't understand the significance of kvura it's not stam. It's not, Jews bury, that's a custom, whatever. You know, you can go ahead and bury this way, dead, do it that way, chas v'shalom, cremate, this, that. It's not gefilte fish over here. This is not just like a Jewish custom, you know. This is the fundamental, this is one of the most fundamental parts of Yiddishkeit, is this belief that you know, there's something after life. The belief in Olam Haba and the Inyanim of Kvura is the Pashat, the foundation of Klal Yisrael. It's not anything less than that. So people start changing the Minhagim and this. Everything is very done for a specific reason. It has to be in the ground. Why do people bury in the ground and not in a mausoleum or something like that? In the ground, there's a reason for it. It's not stam, because convenience. They know where else to bury, so they decided to go home. No. It's because it's meant to provide a tikkun. Just like a seed, when you put a seed in the ground, it has to, in order to sprout, it has to dissolve a little bit and then come back to resprout. So you're planting the goof so that it can come back again. It's not just now you're putting it away in the meanwhile, you know, like, you know, put it in a Ziploc, you know, and put it away. It's not. There's a significance to all these things, which is not just like symbolism. It's the very real, important things. People have to take this stuff very seriously. It's like very, it's very, very fundamental. Okay. So that's the idea. So I think when people ask the question, oh, I did a Gilgal. So if there's a Gilgal, which goof are you going to end up getting in Tchias HaMeisim? This bothers people, you know? I mean, if you had a Shver Rashba, I think you're better off trying to figure out Shana the Rashba than figure out the answer to this question. But there is a Goyim that talks about that question. And I think the answer is that because the Gilgal is only for a Chelik of the Neshama. Each Neshama, certain part of the neshama got a tikkun in each guf as it went along. Yeah. And therefore that guf that provided the tikkun for that neshama will come back together for it. So there is a place for every single person in Tchias HaMeisim. The person meaning the combination of the guf and the neshama. That idea will come back. The idea of that person. Okay?
So if I said correctly, you're saying that each tikkun of that Gilgal will go with the guf that it went that needed to
be. That's what it seems like. Right. Okay. Right. Meaning to say, once there's a concept, just halakim to the neshama, and each chela gets its tikkun, so that's kind of the way it's working. All right. Okay. Let's stop here for tonight. Keep everyone interested. And I'll see what happens tomorrow. Okay, shkoyach, everyone.